Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the spiritual discipline of prayer.
Yeah, Mike, we're giving this month to talking about spiritual disciplines. And last week, we talked about Bible reading. Prayer is another of those foundational, crucial, all-important disciplines. If Bible reading is more about understanding God and allowing the truth of God to sink into our minds and hearts and change us, prayer is a little bit more about communion with God, intimacy of God, fostering a conversational relationship with God, and as Scripture says in Philippians 4, making our requests known to God. So it's a communication and a conversation with God. If it's overly simplistic to say this, but some people have said if Scripture is how God talks to us, prayer is how we talk to God. It's sort of the other side of that conversation. Again, that's overly simplistic, but it's sometimes helpful to think in that way. I thought it might be helpful just to give four categories of prayer. This is a simple acrostic that I've used with my kids for years, helping our family learn how to pray. And again, overly simplified, but adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So it spells the word ACTS. These are four different kinds of prayer. And they each have their place, and they each are in Scripture. We see each kind of prayer in Scripture. If you look at writers like Richard Foster, they see many more categories than that. In fact, there's all kinds of writers on prayer who give a very full picture of all the different facets of prayer. But those four are a good basic starting point. So adoration is worship of God. It's devotional. It's honoring God for who He is. When we do this with our kids, it's just the rule is you don't get to ask God for anything. We just talk about who God is and what He's like and thank Him for who He is. Confession, of course, is confessing sin, acknowledging our need for repentance and forgiveness. Thanksgiving tends to focus on thanks for what God has given us. So when we do that as a family, we're praying, we're thanking God for health and for our needs being met, for our daily bread, for those kinds of things. And then supplication or intercession is making requests known to God. So it's praying for people and for situations and for specific things that we are asking God to do or ways that we want to see Him work in our world. I'll give you another set of categories for prayer from Richard Foster's book just titled Prayer, which is a really wonderful book. He has it divided into three parts. Part one, moving inward, seeking the transformation we need. Part two, moving upward, seeking the intimacy we need. And part three, moving outward, seeking the ministry that we need. So he sees prayer as an inward motion of transformation, an upward motion of intimacy and adoration, and then an outward motion of ministry and intercession.
And you see all of those categories or all of those movements of prayer in Jesus' life as well. So Jesus, in the heat of ministry, Luke chapter 5, one of the most perplexing verses in the Bible for me, he's healing people, and then Luke 5:16, he pulls away to be with the Father and pray. It says something like, Jesus withdrew to a lonely place and prayed, which is obviously just talking about in the heat of the day, Jesus just needed to get away and commune with the Father and have relationship with the Father. And so, Bob, you mentioned at the beginning that it can be over simplistic, but I actually think we don't want to complicate prayer too much either. We don't want to make it more than it is. It's actually a relationship between God and His children, and He wants us to be dependent on Him in that way. You also have the disciples seeing Jesus' dependence on God the Father, and then therefore they asked Him, hey, teach us how to pray, you know? So you see that ministry aspect as well. And so there's different ways that prayer moves in us and moves out of us.
So I'm trying to set the table here for a conversation. So we have adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's one paradigm. We have foster, inward, upward, outward. That's another paradigm. We also might think about the ways in which we experience prayer. So individually, prayer with a family or a small group of people, and then corporate prayer in a larger gathering. So three different sort of contexts in which we pray. So I want to just leave all that as kind of setting the table, and let's shift the conversation now to the question of how, because I think most of the people listening to this podcast want to participate in the discipline of prayer. The question is just how do we actually grow our muscles in this area, right? If we're going to start working out in the area of prayer, what's the workout regime? What's the plan? Can we talk just briefly, guys, about what are the ways that prayer goes sideways or becomes unlife-giving and stale and starts to lack a sense of vibrancy? Because I think that's what kills a lot of people is that, you know, prayer can sort of degenerate in that way. What are some of the things that cause it to move in that direction?
I've seen it go sideways when prayer is just seen as a reactionary thing that we do. So whether it's my friend's cat has died and I want to pray for my friend, or if I'm just praying for during seasons of life when things are going bad, that's when it seems to me prayer just loses its meaning.
So for a lot of people, prayer is sort of a worst case scenario. Like something bad happened, that's why I would pray, is because there's bad news.
I better go to Father God because my life doesn't seem too hot right now.
Yeah. I've seen it go bad when it becomes about maintenance. Jack Miller wrote a book called Outgrowing the Ingrown Church, and he has these categories of frontline prayer and maintenance prayer, where frontline prayer is about moving the kingdom of God forward. It's about, we want to see new people come into Christ. We want to see spiritual renewal in the church. We want to see the kingdom of God advance. And maintenance prayer becomes about just sort of maintaining what we have. And so it's sort of that status quo, you know, let's just sort of pray for anybody in the church that's having health problems, which that's an important thing to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
He's just saying when prayer degenerates into, it sort of becomes about the list of sick people and, you know, the list of everybody's difficult situations that are going on in their lives. And that's all our prayer becomes about. And we're not thinking about God's kingdom going forward, renewal, gospel advancement. Then that's when prayer begins to turn inward on itself and become very much self-serving rather than kingdom serving. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things he talks about.
Yeah, I think even in my own life, when prayer is mundane or I'm lackadaisical in my prayer life or just not disciplined in my prayer life, it's because I don't have a grander vision of the kingdom of God. I don't see God as the God that I'm trying to become like, the God who's pulling me forward by His grace. And so I tend to go inward because life can be so manageable at times.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel the need to be dependent all the time, like something big is at stake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's acknowledge there are all kinds of ways that prayer can become stale and stagnant, and we've got to fight against those things. And so even for people listening, just identify how does prayer tend to go sideways for you, and let's try to fight against those things. Let's spend the rest of our time, guys, talking about how do we cultivate a robust discipline of prayer. What are just patterns and habits and ideas and contexts and ways to strengthen our spiritual muscles here? What have you found effective, and how do we just continue to move forward in the discipline of prayer?
One of the most helpful things for me, I was reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, and he talks about the Psalms being the Christian's prayer book. He even goes as far to say that it was Jesus's prayer book. And so using literal scripture as like an outline for prayer, there's a lot of times where I feel speechless in prayer times, and I just don't know what to pray. And so I usually turn to scripture in those moments and pray scripture, because even in the Psalms, it kind of follows the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication flow sometimes. And so going to scripture and having that be, having that give me words to pray.
Yeah, adoration, Mike, is the category that I find Scripture helps me the most with, because, you know, so many of the Psalms and even books like Isaiah have these mm-hmm. great passages that are just exalting who God is. Mm-hmm. And so I almost just want to read those passages in prayer to God and say, yep, God, my heart agrees with this. Mm-hmm. You know, you're great, you're glorious, you're good. So adoration especially, Scripture is very helpful as a template.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think is an easy starting place for people is just the discipline of intercession, praying for people. Because most of us, men, there's people we care about, and we actually do care that God works in areas in their lives. And so one of the disciplines I've practiced for years is just having a prayer list or some prayer cards or some way of writing down, here's some people I'm praying for. And man, all the way back to college, I had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I had about 15 people on each day that were just, these are people I want to be consistently praying for, family members and friends and people I want to see changed by the gospel. And so I'll just pray through those people. And that that discipline of intercession, again, it can be very, it's so tangible because I know this person and I know what I want to see God do in their life. And so though that's not the only thing we want prayer to be, I think that can often be a very helpful foundational type of prayer to engage in that just helps to build the discipline of I want to be consistently praying, you know, for instance, in my life now for my kids, for my wife, for my team that I work with, and for a few close friends that I'm really trusting God to continue his work in their lives.
Yeah, and what's great about that is when it doesn't feel like, when it feels mundane or just like something I'm doing, when I'm praying for other people, I'm pulling my eyes off myself. Mm. And then also when those prayers start to get answered or something big starts to happen in those people's lives, it causes me deep worship, which just reinforces my prayer life.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Bob, a while back when we were in Isaiah, you challenged us to ask God to rend the heavens, to bring heaven down. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it's kind of at getting at what you're talking about here, this kind of frontline gospel renewal, God actually doing something and not just maintaining our lives. Can you unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah, in my better moments as a man of prayer, Isaiah 64:1 is sort of the, you know, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the earth might quake at your presence. This sense that I want God to do stuff in people's lives that can only be explained as God did something in your life, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's the kind, when we see prayers like that answered, that's what spurs faith. It's like, man, God just did something. No one else did that, right? Mm-hmm. So when you see some, I mean, so I was trying to challenge people, and I want to consistently challenge our church to just pray kind of big prayers, you know, mm-hmm. kingdom-minded prayers that are like, man, if God would break into this person's life or break into this situation and change this, that would be amazing and that would be dramatic. And Coram Deo has such a history of seeing those kinds of things happen, seeing dramatic answers to prayer. It's just encouraging when that happens. And the more people that are trusting God in that way, the more those prayers are getting expressed and the more it gives us a chance then to experience the growth in faith that happens when they get answered. And yeah, I think our tendency is just to, our prayers become small, you know, they become about maintaining life, you know, help me get through this day, you know, help us have enough money to pay the bills this month. That's great. You need to maintain life. But if you just think about, you know, the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, right? It's different to say, God, help us to have the money to pay the bills and, you know, help us find where we're going to find the income to fix this problem with our car or whatever, you know, or some need versus, God, would you provide for us in dramatic ways that let us give dramatically to your kingdom? We want to give in ways that we can't even foresee right now. So would you just do something that brings money into our lives that we didn't expect so we can give it away? Like, you know, that's a prayer that, like, one, if God does it, you're going to know.
Yeah.
And two, it's really exciting to see it answered. And so those kinds of things are, I just get tired of prayers that are, I honestly sit in prayer meetings with people sometimes. I'm like, everything you guys are praying, we could just go out of here and do ourselves. You know, it's like, we're not actually asking God to do something supernatural. We're just sort of exercising a surface level Christianity that says, well, I know that the things I'm going to do anyway, I should ask God to give me help doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to me when I hear people pray and they use phrases like, God, help us do this or help us do that. Yep. I do this to my kids sometimes, and my kids are good theologians, so we actually get in good arguments about this. But when they say things like, God, help me do well in my schoolwork today, I'll just say, you don't need God's help for that. You're going to do fine in your schoolwork. And they, because they have a high view of the sovereignty of God, are like, but if God wasn't sustaining us right now, we wouldn't even be able to do ours. I'm like, yes, I know. You're right, right? Like, there's a sense in which, yep, you're a good theologian. That's true. But I'm trying to get at there, like, I don't want our prayers to just be, God, help us do what we do anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to be, God, do things in our time that we'll look back on and tell stories about, you yeah. know, just like, man, we saw God do some incredible stuff that we haven't seen since, and yeah. it's been amazing, you know.
What does a Christian need to see or to understand to pray that way? I think the reason why we pray such small prayers is we have such a small view of what God could do, and a small view of how we can not change God with our prayers, but I don't know, provoke him to do something.
Yeah. And that's this interesting dynamic in Scripture of God's sovereign, and yet he allows himself to be moved by our prayers. And so part of what we need to see is, one, that he challenges us to pray, you know? I mean, Jesus says, right, whatever you ask in my name, believe that you've received it. You know, like there's this sense of, man, I'm ready to do more than you're asking me for. So we need to see that promise and that invitation. And I think we also need to see, to have a good eschatology, a vision of new heavens, new earth, a vision of what is the consummation of God's kingdom look like. You know, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Habakkuk 2:4. This vision of, if that's where I know things are headed, I want to pray things in that direction. Mm-hmm. That gives me a vision of God's not out to just maintain our lives. God's out to make his kingdom glorious. And even as we saw in the end of Isaiah, for all the nations to stream to Jerusalem for the worship and praise of God. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that makes me want to pray for parts of the world that don't have churches in them, and parts of the world where Christians are persecuted, and people down the street that are, you know, selling meth on the corner instead of worshiping Jesus. Like, that gives me a bigger kingdom vision for what my prayers ought to be oriented toward. Not to the exclusion of my own everyday needs, but to the extension of those needs.
Yeah, I would just answer your question, Mike, with the thing the Christian needs to do is just plan towards prayer that gets them out of themselves so that they expect God to show up in ways that they can't imagine.
So I have I use prayer cards. The best book I've read on prayer in the past 5 years is Paul Miller's A Praying Life. I think you guys have read it as well. It's really a wonderful book. The end of that book, he just gives a model for prayer using these little 3x5 cards. So that's what I use. I have these little prayer cards, and each one has sort of a heading on the top, you know. So some, it's gospel community, family members. Each of my family members has their own card with things I'm praying for. But then I have ones labeled like people that need to repent of sin. It's just like hard-hearted people I know that are just, you know, stuck in patterns of sin and unbelief and are unwilling to repent. I'm just like, I want God to break through to some of these people, and when he does, it'll be clear that he's answering prayer.
Yeah.
Or marriages that are in trouble, you know, and just, man, people whose marriages are stuck. And so I just have an ongoing list of these kinds of requests where I'm just saying, God, would you rend the heavens and come down and break into this person's life or into this marriage, and, man, bring redemption in a way that we can only dream about right now. But I know you can do that because I've seen you do it in other situations. And so would you do it in this situation? Would you act in this person's life or in this person's story? And that's one way that I just try to practice the discipline of making my prayers about something bigger.
So let's talk about that, because that is a discipline. So I'm trying to expect God to do a lot. But most of the time it just feels like everyday, normal things. And so let's talk a little bit about just the mundane of, whether I feel like it or not, I enter into prayer.
Yeah.
Because I think our feelings just dictate a lot about how we enter into prayer.
Well, and the danger of what we said so far is like, well, if I guess I'm not praying for like people, you know, to get totally redeemed, then I'm not praying, right? I don't think it's true that we only want to pray big visionary prayers. I also think we do want to pray just disciplined basic prayers. And so, Dusty, the sort of everyday disciplined, you know, I also want to go into my each day just praying about what I'm doing that day. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I prayed for this podcast this morning because it's on my calendar, you know. And so I just want to say, God, here are the things that are before me today that I know I'm entering into. Would you give me the grace to trust you in them? Would you help me be shaped as a disciple through them? Would you give me the power of the Holy Spirit to be helpful in the ways I need to be? And so it's that... it's that simple prayer of praying through the actual events and moments of my day and just inviting God into them. That's the sort of everyday ordinary prayers that don't have to be maintenance prayer. In fact, I think there's something entirely different from maintenance prayer, because I'm not asking God just maintain the status quo. I'm saying, God, I want to experience partnership with you as I walk into this day. And I know that my tendency is to get laser focused on what I'm doing and what's on my calendar and feeling like these things belong to me instead of like they belong to you. So there really is, I think, just this sort of daily simplicity to inviting God into my day with me and recognizing my dependence on him in all things.
Yeah, I think dependence is key there. There's a sense where because of prayer and because of who God is, I just want to humble myself daily and be dependent on that. But I have to train myself to do that, right? Otherwise, I can just enter in and crank out. So,
The other thing I want to mention that we haven't talked about yet is just the discipline of corporate prayer. My mind wanders all the time, and I have a really hard time staying focused in personal prayer. One of the most helpful things for me is to pray with other people. And so that looks at least for me like the first Wednesday prayer that we do as a church, being there every single month. Oftentimes there are seasons where we'll get together as elders or as leaders on Saturday nights and pray for Sunday morning and what's coming the next day. On Sunday mornings, we're always praying backstage with the production team and worship team and pastors before the service. Those kinds of moments of just, man, let's get together, let's get on our knees for a few minutes and let's just pray. Are so helpful to me because they help me stay dialed in, and I feel like I'm participating in something communally with others. And I think it's interesting, most of the prayer that we see in Scripture is that kind of prayer. Now, we also have what you mentioned, Jesus pulling away, going to a solitary place and praying. But many of the prayers we have in the New Testament are prayers the church prayed. You know, they're corporate prayers. They're prayers that were expressed as the church was together. And so... that discipline of corporate prayer is crucial to developing a language for prayer and actually in learning how to pray. A new Christian doesn't learn how to pray except by praying with people and going, oh, that's how you do it, kind of, you know? And that discipline is crucial to sort of giving us a language for prayer.
Yeah, I think even last week, you know, we did this last week, our communal prayer, and you prompted that gathering with the Isaiah passage. We want God to show up in ways that we can't, and mentally and just emotionally, I was not in that moment. So the word was convicting at that point, but also that communal prayer gathering for me was actually, I was actually only there because of the discipline of prayer. In other words, like most of the time I'm feeling it and I'm really excited, but there's something too that just praying with other people, there creates a little bit of accountability to it, and you're feeding off of the vibrancy that's in the room as well.
Yep. Yeah, this is the sort of go to the gym component, right? Of like the discipline of just being there helps you get engaged. And so just like anything, when we talk about a discipline like prayer, just showing up is half the battle, whether it's showing up on your knees in a personal moment of prayer in the morning or showing up at a corporate prayer gathering, just being there does something for you. And God uses that to pull you in. It's an act of faith for you to put yourself in a place where you're ready to pray. And God graces that. And His Holy Spirit oftentimes is just very faithful to ignite prayer just by the fact that you're there. So let's close this with just a few simple resources for prayer, because I think it's sometimes helpful to have tangible things. So I've already mentioned two really good books, Richard Foster's book called Prayer and Paul Miller's book called A Praying Life, which also has this sort of way of praying using 3x5 index cards, and it's a real helpful way to pray. What are some of the other tools, resources, books, prayer guides, whatever, that you guys have found helpful?
I personally like referencing Phyllis Tickle's Divine Hours books, because it uses scripture as a means of prayer for various times of the day, various seasons of the year. Also, the Book of Common Prayer is helpful as well.
Yeah, I would just add to that the Valley of Vision too. You know, Sometimes, especially in the mundane, it's really helpful for me to grab the Valley of Vision and get outside of my own head and my own theology and just, you know, let something else read me into prayer.
Yeah.
So the Valley Vision is just a simple prayer book, a page or two for each prayer from the Puritans. Yeah. Book of Common Prayer is similar, just a prayer guide that the Anglican Church has used for years. Mm-hmm. Two more modern ones. There's a book by Scotty Smith called Everyday Prayers. Mm-hmm. My wife and I use that every morning, where it's just a prayer that he basically spent a year, just sat down every morning and wrote a prayer, you know, in his personal time of prayer. And then they put it into a book and said, here's a year's worth of prayers. And so we use that. And also Jack Miller's brand new devotional, Saving Grace, that just came out. Mm. Similar. It's not written as a prayer. It's more of a daily devotional, but we read it together in the mornings as just a way of engaging devotionally with God. So all of those resources for people that are just looking for, how do I find some tools to help me in prayer? Those things are all highly recommended, but I can't say enough, guys, man, prayer is one of those disciplines you only grow in it by doing it. Yeah. And so there's just something to be said for a faithful consistency and fighting for prayer. It doesn't come naturally to anyone. Our hearts are naturally selfish. And so there's something that inclines in the direction of, you know, thinking about what we got to do today or checking our email or vegging out, entertaining ourselves. Prayer is always going to feel like it takes some work. But just like any muscle, it does get stronger with consistent use. And so the faithful discipline of prayer is crucial to just making this habit a part of life.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join the conversation by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha. And join us again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.